Let's look at the detailed personal history on page 3. I just wanted to give you guys something more than just the detailed history. I wanted to give you kind of the overview and framework for how I do everything. Yeah. Yeah, that's doing it smooth, all the pieces. And I don't always do it in that specific order. I don't do all the techniques. I just kind of flow in that way, sometimes using some of them, sometimes.
And did you already, and how we know, how we'll know to do which one is...
You will know.
We'll know.
And here's part of how you'll know. Let's turn to page 3. It says detailed personal history. You're going to always notice that the client is at cause or effect in their language, and always introduce the idea of cause and effect at some point during or after the detailed personal history. So you want to talk to them about the idea of cause and effect at some point. Now here's kind of the flow of questions that you can go through. And when you do your detailed personal histories together, I'm going to ask that you just go through this flow of questions, and you're going to notice what you notice comes up for you just by asking these questions. So question number 1 is, what is the problem or issue you're here for? Underneath it says, oftentimes the client will talk about several separate issues. These may or may not be related. If they are not related, you may have to assist the client in getting focused on the most important issue for this session. Because I've had people that came to me before that wanted to see me for weight loss, to make more money, and improve their eyesight. I'm like, okay, well, what I suggest is we focus on one thing, have that breakthrough there, and then do something else. I mean, and it's possible that we could focus on one thing and it's only going to take a few hours or a couple of hours, then we'll have more time left. But I want to get people focused on one issue that's going to be really a major breakthrough for them. Yeah. So the first question you're going to ask is, what is the problem or issue you're here for? Then number 2, oops, we have two twos. Number 2, what have you done about it? Okay. What have you done about it? Because you want to find out if they've done anything else or who they've seen, or maybe they'll tell you, yo, well, I did anchoring, or I worked with timeline techniques and that didn't work. So what are you not going to work with? You know? Yeah, you're not going to work with the things that didn't work for them. Then the 2A, we'll call it. How do you know you have this issue? How do you know you have this issue? That's going to find out, you're going to find out their reality strategy there. Next one, how is this a problem for you? So you're going to find out how that problem's a problem for them. Number 4, how much of your time does this problem take? That's going to give them, that's a leverage frame, give you a little bit more leverage. Number 5, how long have you had this issue? Was there ever a time that you didn't? That gets people to think back. Oftentimes they've had the issue longer than they've thought. Number 6, when was the first time you can remember having this problem? What emotions were present? Number 7, tell me about your childhood in relationship to this problem. Number 8, tell me about your mother, father, or any siblings and what relationship they might have to the problem. So we're going to do some exploring here. Number 9, what events have happened since the first time you remember having the problem? Let's turn the page. Yeah, but you're looking for, when you ask that question, it says, what events have happened since the first time you remember having the problem? You're looking for related events.
So you make that clear to them?
Yeah, I mean, if and you could even put a note there if you need to. We're looking for related events to the problem. I mean, that's what our whole questioning flow is about. So we want to find out what the first event was and what events have happened since then. So somebody says, like, they come to you for weight loss and they say, well, the first event was, I remember my mother used to always beat into our head that we had to look perfect, and she used to yell at us and we were never good enough. Okay. What events have happened since then, that first time? Well, I remember in school always feeling like I was fat and blah, 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 blah. What events have happened, and what else? Well, then I went and I was bulimic for a while in college, and so now what we're doing is we're finding examples, right, throughout their life that lead to where they are now. By the way, with all those things, what I'm doing is I'm chunking up on all those. What's this, the mother treating her this way, the bulimia, this, what are all these examples of? I'm chunking up in my own mind. And then what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to ask the client, question 10 on page 4, what's the relationship between all of these events and your current situation in life? Here it says you're looking for the greater level presenting problem. It's best if the client states it themselves rather than you putting the words in their mouth. So you may have already chunked up and you may have gotten the greater level presenting problem or not, but you want the client to state, it's best to get the client to state things whenever possible. So I'm going to ask, what's the relationship between all of these events, the events we just mapped out in their past, and your current situation in life? Now, oftentimes people will they'll go, wow, that's it. Like a woman flew down to see me for cancer. And things like that, when you're working with major issues like that, I personally enjoy working with those things because people have a lot more to gain from the intervention. They have a lot more investment in the intervention. And you can really make a major difference in somebody's life with an intervention like that. So a woman says, so we're doing all this. I said, what's the first time, let's see, how did we get to, I said, hey, how long have you had this issue? Was there ever a time that you didn't? She said, well, I had it, the cancer happened like 3 years ago, I'm sorry, like a year ago in the last year. And I said, okay, what significant emotional was going on in your life when you had this? She said, well, actually, I asked her what significant in her life was going on 1 to 3 years prior to the onset of the cancer, which is usually when the significant emotional event happens. There's a lot of research about cancer. According to Dr. Hammer, he's a medical doctor that did 10,000 case histories in terms of cancer patients, and he found always and in every one, there was 1 to 3 years prior to the onset of the cancer, there was a significant emotional event. And according to Hammer's research, the significant emotional event causes a lesion in the brain, which causes the brain to miscommunicate to a certain part of the body, which then causes the cancer. And then when the cancer metastasizes into the lung, into any area, that's usually a result of the fear of the initial onset of the cancer. So, according to Hammer. So I asked her, I said, what a significant emotional event was going on in your life 1 to 3 years prior to the onset of the cancer? And she said, I had this resentment. This major resentment in my life because there were people living with us and my husband had invited them in and I didn't want them living there. I said, really? I said, when's the first time you can remember having that? And she went back to her youth and she said, wow, I had that when I was 4 years old. I said, what other events happened? And sure enough, she had this pattern of resentment throughout her life. I said, what's the relationship between all those events and your current situation in life? She said, I think I said at one time that this just life just isn't worth living because of all the resentment. I said, interesting. So now I found a greater level pattern. Now at this point I was like, okay, so is there a purpose for having this problem? Which is question number 11. Ask your unconscious mind, what possible benefit is there to having this problem? She said, well, for me to wake up and to realize that I need to fully live my life. Now, by the way, when this was a major thing for her. She was one of those clients that asked if she could pay me more at the end of the session. She paid me for 5 sessions. I told her it might take 5 to 8. She said, I want to pay you for the full 8. And at the time, I was charging like $700 an hour or something like that. She paid me for 5. She said, this is worth so much more. And I said, no. I said, pay me for 5. I want to pay you for 8. I had to argue with her not to pay me $2,100 more than the session cost. Yeah. So I said, is there a purpose for having this problem? She got that she was supposed to start living fully. Ask your unconscious mind, so they may have a purpose. Then if they don't say that there's a purpose, sometimes I'll ask them also the second question, what possible benefit is there to having the problem? If there was a benefit, what would it be? I think that's a little bit different from is there a purpose for having this problem. So what I'd like you to do is underline the word purpose. Is there a purpose for having this problem? Because for me, I look at the word purpose as being, is there some sort of purpose, some sort of reason or purpose that you created this problem? Whereas, is there a benefit would be looking at, kind of like fishing out secondary gain. Like, what is it that you gain by having it? Whereas a purpose is, what's the grander purpose in having the problem? Like, maybe there was a grander purpose for having created it. Then number 12, is there anything your unconscious mind, this is a good one, is there anything your unconscious mind wants you to get, which, if you got it, would cause the problem to disappear? Like in the cancer patient, I think she said, yeah, I'm supposed to get that I've got to live my life fully. Because even after the onset of the cancer, she was regretting, interestingly enough, and resenting, just like she had been the pattern through her life, that she had to spend all of her time on this cancer, searching out methods to deal with it and so on and so forth. So her lesson was that she was supposed to live her life fully. Now, by the way, let me ask you a question. If we got her then from the as a result of the intervention, like if I got after gathering all this information, because what'll happen is the information will pop right out at you. It's like, yes. Also, what will pop out at you as you're going through this detailed personal history are the techniques you're supposed to use. Because the client will say, well, part of me feels this or part of me feels that. Or they'll say, well, I just can't see this or I just can't I just have this anger or resentment. What are you going to use with anger or resentment? Either timeline, release the limited negative emotions, or collapse the anchors, anchoring. If they say part of me, you're going to use a parts integration. So the entire time I'm going through this, and I'm writing down, I'm making little notes, and I put a little arrow, and I put parts. And I'm writing down the client's words, and I'm taking notes. I'll ask the client, do you mind if I take notes as I read through the detailed personal history? And I'm making notes about, oh, there's a parts integration. I'll write down the words that they say exactly, and I'll write down the intervention that I think is going to be necessary. Now, if the client, let's take the woman with the cancer, her lesson was that she was supposed to start living her life fully, and she got that, and she got it in a way she had never seen it before as a result of just the detailed personal history, she's like, oh my gosh, I never made these connections before. Detailed personal history can make you help you make a lot of connections. She's like, for me, this is a lot of the intervention in and of itself. This can be an intervention in and of itself, just asking them these questions. Yeah, but it's not just stating the problem. It's like them getting something that they never, it's like, wow, I thought the problem was a cancer. The problem was resentment and not living her life fully and so on and so forth. When she got that, she was like, oh my gosh, then all I got to do is get her to do that. And let me ask you a question. What would happen if the cancer didn't disappear, yet she lived her life fully? She's far better off. Now, what would happen if she lived her life fully and the cancer disappeared? Much better off. So it's like, that's why when you work with something major like that, people are just thrilled. You know, you've changed their life, or you've helped them to change their life. So let's see. 12, is there anything your unconscious mind wants you to get, which if you got would cause the problem to disappear? Number 13, what have you been a commitment frame, questions 13 and 14 that I've added rather recently. So what have you been unwilling to do in order to keep this problem? And number 14, what are you no longer willing to do in order to make this change? So that's kind of a little commitment frame. And then at the bottom, it has a little cartoon. It says, listen to the client and chunk up to find the greater level pattern. So I'm chunking up the whole time. I'm listening for what interventions are popping out as me as going to be the things that I'm going to use.